everybody. We are now 2021. Oh my God, that was the last time I recorded a podcast. Damn. So much to say, really. So let's roll on with it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Higher Love, straight from SoundCloud Studios in the infinite, ether. Infinite internet ether. Yeah, that's it. So let's get started on an updated 2021 podcast. I haven't even been around for ages. I guess I've been taking care of myself, looking after number one, as they say. It's important, vital, all the rest. So basically I've been looking forward to doing this podcast, and I had to make notes because I'm just not good at, I guess, freeform wrapping of my podcast. So I have to have some kind of notes. I wonder if everyone else does that. I'm so not professional. I'm actually using my iPad mic as a mic. Yeah, in the background, the music that I have playing is a band or a project called Men I Trust. And the name of the song is called Days Go By. I think she's a Canadian artist, but she's really cool. Check her out. I like to, read listening to her music or driving. It's just so cool and it puts me in another space. So, and she's got a little bit of that Steely Dan vibe. So yeah, definitely love her. Check her out when you can. Okay, so let's get into the podcast. I think an update on life events, still in LA, still, kind of recovering from 2020, as we all are, I think. Things seem to be opening up over here, restaurants, bars, things like that. Basically, I don't really do a lot of going out to bars because I just don't really have the time. Does anybody have the time to go to bars? I think actually there are a lot of people that do. And I wonder, as I drive past them in the early evening, which it's just a balmy evening in LA, I wonder how happy they really are, because goddamn, I would really love a margarita, but I'm just not one to go to a bar by myself. I just cannot do it and won't do it. I don't know, call me spiritually evolved or something's happened to me, but I just can't do it. Anyway, Yeah. So, you know, the elections have happened and UFOs have been sighted all over the place, and we are waiting for an update from the government in June, end of June this year, where the government is going to give a formal kind of a, you know, report on what it knows about, you know, unidentified aerial phenomenon or whatever it's called now. I think that's what it is, UAP. So that'll be interesting. And I think in the lead up to it, there have been a lot of weird sightings by just normal, you know, American Airlines seeing one. You know, it's still not in February. It's still not been acknowledged as to what was it. You know, all the pilots could say were, hey, yeah, we acknowledged it happened. It's in the hands of the FBI now. And as they say, quote, ask the FBI, unquote. So yeah, there you go. And I took that little thing from Linda Moulton Howe, who is a, you know, brilliant writer, speaker, and a ufologist. Or maybe just a, she's just curious about what the heck's going on and why can't we have the government be truthful and acknowledge that. Politics, whatever. I don't care. I mean, I do care, but at the same time, I'm like, look, I gotta live my life and, you know, make sure my family are doing everything they can to find their way through it. Like, you know, that's who I am and that's who I'll always be. So, you know, making sure that everybody gets a chance to make it in this life. And the reality is that, you know, 3D, 4D, 5D, my family, we live in a 5D and we create our own reality every day. And it's quite different. You really feel like you're not living the same reality as others. And it's not some kind of looking down on others kind of podium thing. It's more like you're just walking and something's happening to somebody and you don't understand why is that happening and why don't I feel like I relate to that? Stress vibes, frequencies, and things like that. If you understand, then you'll get it. If you don't, you'll be laughing your head off right now. But yeah, so, basically just, you know, continuing on my magic journey, I still am very much a Wiccan, and I practice in the yin and yang beliefs of magic. Magic is both white and, or light and dark, because that's just life. That is how the universe runs, and that's how I run, and that's how my family run too. We believe in the light and the dark, but we live in compassion and empathy towards our human, you know, race, even though, as we all know, I'm hybrid. Well, maybe you don't, but we won't talk about that. It's a secret. Shh. So yeah, we live in that everlasting compassion and empathy towards nature and our fellow man and woman, fellow woman. So let's, for now, let's have a tiny little break. Just, you know, baby steps getting back into this because it's been a while. Take a break and I will be back with some more interesting news on just, friends, fake, real, COVID. I mean, it's still that issue with me where I am a lone wolf. And I probably always will be. And it's probably better that way. But yeah, let's talk about that and how everyone else is dealing with that. And maybe some things for you to think about. Okay. Bye-bye for now. Thank you. Bit of Joan Jett, 80s Joan Jett, Fake Friends. What is it about, when you're down and out, nobody's really around. When you're happy, everything's going great, people are just there. It really is weird, and I have always experienced this throughout my life. But again, it brings about that whole thing about being a lone wolf. I don't mind it, but I do feel that I need to learn to have more of a circle of friends that are like family. And I used to have that, but it's as I've gotten older, it's sort of diminished and it's become a very slim pickings type of thing. And with the internet, forget it. It's just really slim pickings because everyone's your friend on the internet, whether you want them to be or not. I've got about a handful of real friends, and then I've got the elusive friends that you hear from every now and then, and they'll loan you money, but you never hear from them, like, ever. They're the ones that you say, hey, let's meet up and like walk our dogs. And they refuse to do it for some reason, even though they walk their dogs in a park that's public and, are around people. So again, is it me or is it them? And, I don't want to catastrophize situations, but it's hard sometimes, isn't it? Where we just really don't know. And that's that not knowing that makes us feel like, well, maybe there is something to this. Maybe there's more than me just imagining or being paranoid. Again, catastrophizing. Ugh, one of my number one talents. If someone doesn't call me back, I think they don't like me. If they don't text me back, again, don't like me. But then again, I probably do that to them. Although I try to acknowledge my missing in action behavior. But because I do tend to isolate. So, it's all about the give and the take. But again, real friends, fake friends, and the COVID umbrella that goes over it for why people don't connect anymore. I've been in LA for, I think it's been nine months now. Or maybe more than that. Eight months. I've only seen a few people, friends, I've talked to people on the phone, but I've not really seen anybody. So, and then there's the friends that only call to dump on you, those friends, which it's hilarious because a psychic told me, you are a natural therapist. People just love to dump their problems on you. But really, boundaries, folks. I mean, I don't mind helping and being a lending an ear and some, advice that I might have that's good. But I'm so sick of that the person or friends calling me just to dump their woes on me. It's like, how about ask how I'm doing? First and foremost, if you're going to talk to somebody, let them know what you're going through. But always start it with asking how they're doing, checking in with them, not just because you're having fucking problems, but because, you want to sincerely catch up with them and you want to know how they're doing. Makes sense, doesn't it? But some reason, it never happens. Okay, boundaries. All right, okay. Anyway, other than that, I've been, the adventures of being a new dog owner. Yeah, let's just cut right to it. I've been a lifetime cat owner. And now dog owner, the owner of a 7-month-old Maltipoo. She's gorgeous. She's beautiful. She's funny. She's loving. She's cute as a button. But when you've been a lifetime cat owner and you know that cats are just resilient, independent creatures, man, having a puppy is like having another baby. And my son is already 17 now. So yeah, do the math. The doggy, Mila, she's sleeping right now. But again, it's been a challenge, a big fat challenge. Mainly because, you know, she wants to go outside all the time. Which I understand, you know, hey, it's lovely outside. But because she's still a puppy, she's not quite trained there yet. And so it's been sort of a triggering for my anxiety kind of issue. She'll run off, I panic. You know, so as much as I love and adore her, and she sleeps with me nightly, which is just the most loyal thing ever, and she's very protective, barks, which at everything, the door, people walking outside from the window, she can see. People that are just minding their own business, she'll just bark at them. And I just honestly wish she just didn't bark sometimes. Yeah, so the journey's been a good one so far, but it's a learning curve for my son and I. We are such cat people that we don't even know what the fuck did we do. Why did we get this puppy? But I really wanted one, and she's beautiful. Like I said, black, shaggy haircut. You know, I'm proud to be a dog owner too. There's a little bit of an interesting camaraderie with it. When you go outside and walk your dog, people talk to you. People, I mean, they actually like talk to you and ask you about your baby doggy, you know, and how old is she? And oh, and then you don't even know them, but they like want to talk to you about, you know, how what it's like to be a dog owner. And actually, I find that really cool. So I love it, and I'm proud of it. And yeah, it's good times. I'm sure a lot of people are dog owners out there and can attest. But hey, two cats and a dog? Very unusual. I do miss my cats, though. Just we can't really have them in the same room because the cats don't really like Mila. They tolerate her, but Bo will tolerate her up to a point, and then Miles will just swipe the fuck out of her, and I don't want her to get cut. So, yeah, I separate them. But occasionally they'll come in and say hello to Mila, try to make friends with a very exuberant puppy, but yeah, not going to happen. So another thing that I'd like to talk about is, triggering the psychiatry situation that I'm in. I'm actually seeing a psychiatrist, which I think is actually really important for me and probably for anyone who needs it. But I see a psychiatrist on the weekly. And to deal with a lot of the issues that have come about since my marriage fell apart. And I've actually filed for divorce. So that's being processed now as we speak, which is fine from the point of view is we need closure. And I still haven't heard from my ex since August last year. So not even a friendly word or anything. So it's been really surreal is the perfect word for it all. Surreal.
Nobody's perfect. And like I said, you know, I'm not perfect at all. You know, but, you know, when you've been caught out doing something, it really, you should just face it and like not, you know, gaslight and tell people lies about that person. It's just bullshit. And it's my first encounter with that. So, damn, gonna have to get background checks on people. But again, I'm not gonna make it seem like red flags weren't there from the beginning when I first started seeing my ex-husband, soon to be ex-husband. They were there, but I ignored them, I think, because I was just so damn sad about my relationship before him breaking up that I needed to feel valid. So he was like kind of the perfect person for that. He just was kind of all about drinking and partying, and yeah, it kept my mind off shit for a while. But when the reality came to focus, yeah, he wasn't quite the right. We weren't quite right for each other. Totally different paths. But anyway, yeah, never ignoring red flags again, ever. Okay, ever, ever, ever. Okay, so yeah, psychiatry and the prejudice that's against mental health still. I suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. I've been officially diagnosed by my psychiatrist, who is a fabulous human being and laughs at my jokes, which I didn't know I was that funny, but hey, he obviously thinks I am, or maybe he's just laughing at maybe somebody making faces at him in his office. Who the fuck knows? But he is the coolest guy, and I'm so grateful to have him in my life because I need it more than ever. I've needed it. And yeah, he actually helps me to see things from a real point of view and not see things from a victim point of view, which is what I think everybody should, you know, probably recognize that you're not a victim. There's two people in a situation, and yeah, you need to acknowledge both sides in order to grow.
Veux-tu me recevoir sans trop te déranger? Mes bottes ne font pas trop d'écho dans ton couloir. Pas de bruit avec mes habits. Pas pour nous les moments perdus. En attendant un instant à revoir. Lorsque j'ai la famille, oui, j'ai la folie, oui, c'est la folie, oui, c'est la folie, oui, c'est la
So yeah, continuing on with my conversation about having post-traumatic stress disorder and people still thinking that, you know, it's right to be considered, I don't know, like, people just think of it as an insanity thing. Like, I've been called crazy so many times, it's so not fair, you know? Sorry, I was having a drink, smoothie. And I just feel like, wow, I never realized the prejudices, but they're very real. And, you know, they need to be acknowledged.
sorry, coughing now. Wow, I'm really giving you the full spectrum of my life. No, anyway. So yeah, I think it's important, like, being judged from a psychological point of view is so horrible. It really is. And people, like, especially if there's something involved, where there's something at stake, they're just free-flowing judging, you know, and it's insane to me. Hey, it's insane. They're insane. No, but I feel being on Celexa, which is what I am in America, and then being on citalopram, which is a generic version in the UK, it's quite hard because you're constantly trying to, like, prove yourself, hey, I'm sane, I'm just as sane as you are. But the whole mentality thing is an elusive bag of chips because we're all at some level suffering from some kind of issue, historical or present. Mine happens to be childhood, historical abuse, so I'm a survivor of that, and many relationships that have gone bad from, you know, their contribution and mine. It's like mixing a cocktail, and it can be quite Molotov, if you know what I mean. But yeah, being a survivor of that and trying to also survive judgment is probably one of the things that I struggle with. It's a day-to-day trigger for me, and which is probably a big reason why I don't leave the house. And I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way. It's like so much safer inside your little cocoon where you can watch TV. You can turn it on and off. It doesn't respond to you. Having a pet, they love you unconditionally. So yeah, not a lot of interaction. It's safe. But is it really safe? And are you really growing? You're stunted spiritually. And it's not fair to your soul being on this planet, which is what you're here for, to learn and to grow and to help others. So yeah, I hope that others will learn from that and accept that, hey, it's not just a one-way window. You need to have somebody looking back at you and acknowledging you, whether you're afraid of it or not. You know, it's important. You're not here just to isolate and keep safe. You're here to fall down, hurt yourself, get back up. And as cliche as that sounds, you know, get back on the horse and go, go, go. Yeah, so, yeah, I've grown a lot from it all. And I'm glad to have you know, met up with a psychiatrist who actually understands me, because it's really hard to find a good therapist. But I think that psychiatrists, especially ones that have you know, experience with people with post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, understand how to talk to the person, how to listen, and, you know, keeping it at a certain level of lightness, because we're already feeling heavy. We already kind of know life's a certain way, and we struggle to keep it light. But yeah, so I wonder if anyone else is going through that, and if you are, please seek help. You don't have to look at it as a stigma to being you know, a less of a strong person. It actually makes you very strong, and you understand your boundaries, and you hopefully don't make any more mistakes, like, you know, hooking up in bad relationships just to save yourself from being lonely. You are valid and you are loved all on your own, and you don't need anybody else to prove that to you. You are that proof. You exist, and that means that you are wonderful and loved. And you are love. So, yeah. Let's take a little break. Again, damn, how many breaks do I take? I will say this, part of my therapy has been, you know, just like really a lot of self-care with, you know, hanging out with my son and going out for walks in nature. Nature is such a beautiful, beautiful thing. I don't know. In LA, I never really appreciated it before. But for some reason, this trip has really shown me that LA has some beautiful parks and, yeah, amazing views and coastline. I don't think I had the opportunity to hang out much in that before because there were no lockdown restrictions. And now that there are, it's like you have this like choice. You have to make a really specific choice when you go outside. And yeah, I always choose to be out in nature, and I think a lot of folks have too. Yeah, so be right back, compadres. Fugazi with Latin Roots. It's off the Steady Diet of Nothing album. Yeah. I was very lucky to see Fugazi in San Francisco at a warehouse, in a warehouse in the Marina District. It's one of their infamous $5 gigs. And yeah, they had a sushi cart. So they always had a sushi cart at their gigs, apparently. And it really isn't an urban myth. They really had a sushi cart. Anyway, yeah, amazing show. Absolutely fucking loved it. And yeah, I'm lucky I got to see them live in the early days. I think it was for A Steady Diet of Nothing, actually. Yeah, so talking about Latin roots, just feeling super proud to be you know, of my, since I've been back in LA, really proud to be, you know, part Mexican. And, you know, I honor my dad's side too, which is the German American. But yeah, you know, living in LA, you really get this vibe. You know who you are, even though people don't think I'm Mexican, they think I'm Armenian or something else. They never think I'm Mexican, dude, until I start speaking Spanish to them. Then they're like, oh, shit, she understands us. Oh, don't talk shit about her. Oh, paranoia, destroya, yeah. But, yeah, so I'm enjoying the Mexican food and will continue to enjoy it until, that's right, we move back to the UK, which is happening. I know I've been saying it's going to happen since last year, but the universe is taking her time in providing for the... And the timing is more than just monetary. It actually has a lot to do with the pets, because the airlines aren't all providing that travel cargo thing space for animals from every city in America. They're only doing certain ports. So, yeah, so my pets or animals might have to fly on a different flight and then get taken to a... pet place in East Midlands and wait for us there until we get in. But yeah, it would probably only be a day or two of waiting, but a little bit weird for them, probably because they don't understand, especially Mila won't understand. She's only a puppy, but she's a strong girl. She's got attitude. She's a Leo. So just embracing that and looking forward to going up north and seeing my family, who are very Mexican and very adorable, and seeing my friends too, new and old, who I haven't seen in ages. So the Bay Area trip is going to be great, and I look forward to it big time. And then it'll be time to go home, back to the UK, where a lot of great changes await us, including my son going to music college in Brighton. It's going to be absolutely a journey of a lifetime for him, and I know that his talent. I'm a mom, and I'm biased, but I'm actually very realistic, and I can tell you right now, the boy's got talent, and the administrator at the school definitely said, there's gold, quote, there's gold in them there hills, unquote. He's influenced heavily by Nick Drake, and I just think, wow, at 17, he's got this amazing picking with a guitar that it's not usual. So yeah, taking it to the next level in the musical family here, and of the Gallier musical family. And other news, there's a great thing, speaking of music, happening that's, I think it's already been released, but Alan McGee's Creation Stories. So it's actually a movie with proper actors in it. Just doing the you know, the whole start to the Oasis leaving to go into Capitol and him stopping managing them level, maybe up to the point where he is now. I'm not sure. He's still got his, creation management and label as a new business. So a whole new business for the times. And I'm hoping that there will be some stellar youth out there who are creating some sounds to help humanity in the next level of our musical journey, because God knows we need it, and it feels like we've just been on pause for ages. I haven't heard any new music. I've just been listening to old music and writing my own music too, I'm not in any hurry to release, but I am working with Rhys Marsh, the infamous Rhys Marsh, who lives in Norway and has a fantastic analog and electronic studio, but it's mainly analog, and a lot of wind instruments and just all kinds of good treats.
Sonic Treats in that studio in Norway. It's Autumn Songs. And he is co-producing and recording my tracks. I'll bet we're doing this slowly. It is happening, and I'm very happy and proud to be working with him on this album, which is called Esperanza Waves, is a working title. So I hope that I'll have some great news by the end of the year, hopefully, to share with you about this album, and hopefully you'll hear it on the airwaves. So, other than that, I would like to wish everybody a fantastic, journey through the springtime. And I think that things are starting to calm down with COVID. Since the vaccines come out, it seems like, and being utilized, it seems that way. And I'm hoping, really hoping that, you know, it's true, because, you know, we all need a break from this. It's, some of us have made it through, some of us haven't, but, you know, I gotta say, we need a break from this. And let's hope that, you know, we do get that by summer. I know the UK is hoping to you know, get everybody reopened again. Let's pray for each other and give each other hope, and know that we see each other, we see one another, especially during the down times, and no one's going missed, you know? Say hello to people when you're outside, and if you're outside, or just check in with anyone. Just say hi, I'm here, I see you, and you know, we're human and we're gonna take this journey together. Again, I wish you all health, wisdom, love, and joy. And I mean that with all my heart. Okay, so let's finish with Men I Trust. Again, another song of hers. Men I Trust and Show Me How. All right, till next time. This is Higher Love Podcast, signing off. Show me.